Well, I want to thank Mr. Jones for inviting me to speak with y'all this morning. Or so, and before getting into the lesson, you know, on Tuesday, you know, we got New Year's coming up, and has any of you made your plans, your New Year's resolutions? Have you thought about that? Well, mine, I thought about it, and I'm going to try to be like two individuals who've been recently, you may have seen them on TV. I want to be more like Ebenezer Scrooge, and I definitely want to be more like the Grinch. Now, before you, say, hey, well, what's the matter now? Well, see, people, they only judge people by certain things that they do. Now, take, for instance, Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, in that tale of A Christmas Carol, who in the whole story almost had a complete Christian heart and who was benevolent in that story? Ebenezer Scrooge, right at the end. See, we think of Ebenezer Scrooge how he was until he repented, and then he changed his ways, he got an attitude readjustment, and he became a very benevolent person. And so I kind of want to model myself after that. Now, what about the Grinch? What do you remember about the Grinch? Right, he didn't like Christmas, and he took all the presents and the decorations away from the people of Whoville. But he had a change of heart, and he restored all of that, and guess what? He became the guest of honor at their feast, and he had the biggest honor of cutting the roast beast for the who in Whoville. So, you know, perhaps sometimes we want to judge people by what they used to do rather than what they're currently doing. Just like the Apostle Paul, do we remember him as Saul when he was persecuting Christians, or do we remember him as being a great servant of Christ and a model for us? So, you know, and especially if you look at his life and how it changed in Acts chapter 9. So, you know, so that's why I say that perhaps I want to be sort of more like Ebenezer Scrooge and Grinch when they repented and had an attitude readjustment. But I hope everybody has a great new year. And I know 2019 it will be the best year yet. Best year yet. And now today, my learning target, and I want to share this with you. Hopefully we'll have a better understanding of God's holy word through not only geography, but history. Now, as Mr. Jones was telling you about myself, I taught 25 years in the Daugherty County Public Schools, and I taught a variety of social studies subjects, U.S. history, world history, geography, and economics, and even a little bit of psychology. And so I want to bring some of that experience that I have to you this morning. And, you know, when we read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, we read about regions and cities, and, you know, we may lose perspective of just exactly where they are, you know, in a relation to the world, and what are the countries of those cities and regions. Where are they today? So hopefully in the next few minutes, I can help you better understand where places are in the New Testament so we can relate them to maybe modern events and help us to be better Christians. Or when we read God's Word, we will know, we will have a better understanding. Now, I hope everybody can see this right here. Okay? Okay, I'm going to be using this as my primary visual aid right here. And as we're going into this, I want to ask you some questions. And as we go on, I'll be asking you some questions. Now, Can somebody tell me what the population of the world is approximately right now? Right, so about 7.5 billion people right now. Can you believe that? 7.5 billion. And what country perhaps has the biggest population? China. China. And anybody care to guess how many people China has? Yeah, just about. Just about. Exactly. About 1.3 billion people, believe it or not. 1.3. And what nation has the second most? Right, India. India has about 1.2 billion. So, but China certainly has the most people. Now, China, that doesn't mean that they have the largest country in size. What country has the largest, is the largest in size? Russia, definitely. Russia. But now, the United States, what's the population of United States, roughly? Just about, they're very close. About maybe 320 million people. 320 million people right now. And then what about Georgia? What's our population? Four million. That's close. Close. Actually, we have 10 million people. About 10,400,000 people. Well, that was close. 10,400,000. Okay, so if you keep those figures in mind as we go along. And right now, I'm going to get back out my visual aid. And like I said, does anybody know what region of the world this is? Right, Europe. That's one. That's a part of it. Italy. Asia. Asia's on here. And, yeah, Africa. See, three. And does anybody know what this sea is? Yeah, the Mediterranean Sea. Well, with a bigger sea in this. Right. This is the only place in the world where three continents meet. You've got Europe, you've got Europe in the north here, you've got Africa in the south, and then to the far east, to the east here, you have Asia. Now, let's talk about, just to mention some geographical places, okay? You have the Mediterranean Sea right here. This is the biggest sea in this area, the dominant body of water, of course. But you also have the Adriatic Sea. You have the Adriatic Sea. Which is between Italy and in the Dalmatian coast right here. The Italian Peninsula is where makes up most of Italy. You've got the island of Sicily right here. Okay, you've got the island of Malta. And then you have the modern day Greece and Macedonia. Does anybody know what the name of this peninsula that Greece and Macedonia, Albania, Bulgaria is a part of? Starts with a B. The Balkans, right? The Balkans. Okay, the Balkans, and then you have another peninsula, the Anatolian Peninsula, right here. The Anatolian Peninsula. Does anybody know a more common name for the Anatolian Peninsula? Asia Minor. Now, when somebody mentions Asia Minor, it's right here. And what country makes up most of Asia Minor or the Anatolian Peninsula? Some of us had this on Thanksgiving. Turkey, right, Turkey. See, y'all are doing good right here. Turkey. And see, between the Balkan Peninsula and Asia Minor is the Aegean Sea. And then just north of the Anatolian Peninsula or Asia Minor, you have the Black Sea. And then here, if we go south in the northeast Africa, you have Egypt. And then between Egypt and the area that's historically known as Palestine, where Israel and Lebanon, Syria, Jordan is located now, you have the Sinai Peninsula. So these are some of the major geographic regions and bodies of water. And as we go along, as time permits, we'll go back and look at these regions today and also how they are related to the New Testament times. Okay? And so the first place that we're going to go, we're going to go back to Italy. Italy, and of course, the capital of Italy is what? Rome. Now, you can't understand the New Testament if you don't know anything about Rome. This was a Roman world at the time of the New Testament, from the time Christ was born. The Mediterranean Sea was a Roman lake. And when Rome would take over an area, they would usually just set up, their own government, but they would allow the individuals, the people native to that area, to run the administrative policies that the Roman emperor wanted. Now, to go back just a little bit in Roman history, when Rome was formed, they established what we know today as a... Thank you, Bill. Amen. Appreciate that, Ms. Lewis. Thank you. Hopefully we'll... Yeah, there you go. Yeah, see, when I'm teaching, I like to move about, and so I think it. I don't even have a paper. I think it'll be all right. I think it would do. I tell you, we'll just. Oh, great! I appreciate that. Bless you. Oh, well, that, it just clamps right on there. Yeah, there you go. Appreciate that. Thank you. Let me put this right over here. Okay. And like I said, you really can't understand the New Testament times if you don't understand about Rome. You see, Rome, this is where we get the our institution of the republic form of government. What's a republic form of government? Ruled by law. Mm-hmm. Well, it's known as also representative democracy or indirect democracy, in which people elect their representatives. Now, for many years, Rome had a republic, although only about half of the Roman citizens were able to vote. But as time went on, you had individuals like Julius Caesar, a great general in the Roman army, and he became politically astute. In fact, he gained power, and he declared himself dictator of Rome. And of course, he was assassinated in 44 B.C. He literally, I guess, he thought his friends were going to backslap him when he was entering into the Senate, but they stabbed him in the back. And then after that, there was a great civil war for control of Rome between Caesar, Julius Caesar's adopted son, Octavian, and one of Caesar's best generals, Mark Antony. And of course, they had a big civil war, and Egypt was still relevant during this time. It was controlled by Cleopatra. But Octavian was able to defeat both the combined forces of Mark Antony and Cleopatra at the Battle of Actium in 31 BC. After that, Octavian became Caesar Augustus. And I think he said he when he became Roman emperor, he was the first Roman emperor, the Roman Empire was stoned. But by the time he died, it was an empire of marble. He did a lot of reconstruction in Rome. Now, with that being said, and since the Mediterranean Sea was a Roman lake, that meant that Rome controlled this whole area under the empire. And see, Rome, even in its early days, in the 200 BC, they wanted to consolidate things. And Mr. Lewis, you probably learned that the Roman army, wherever they camped out, they would set their tents in the exact same way. So if they needed to muster very quickly, they'll be around familiar surroundings. And so this also meant that they had universal coins, and they also built a lot of military roads, some of which are still visible today. Also, their engineering was phenomenal. They were able to build aqueducts that brought fresh water hundreds of miles, and some of these are still standing. And also, they had a sewage system, too. You know, you always hear lately about our problems with our sewage. Well, the Romans, they were known for their good sewage system. But as time went on, you had other emperors like Claudius, Caligula, Nero, which they did some pretty bad things, especially Nero, who liked to persecute Christians. But as time went on, you had emperors like Hadrian in about 100 A.D. They expanded the Roman Empire to its fullest extent. It went to the Roman Empire extended to just south of Scotland, modern-day Scotland, all the way to almost to Iraq. And of course, and by this time, Egypt, even ancient Egypt history was ancient history for Egypt, and Egypt was just another part of the Roman Empire. And it was under Trajan, about 120 A.D., which the Roman Empire reached its fullest extent. And so, and for 200 years, Rome had what was called Pax Romana, complete peace. Well, there was a few wars. But then, in about 300 A.D., around that time, Rome had already been split in two because it became too big to control. And it was the emperor Constantine, who stopped the persecution of Christians, and he converted. He became a Christian, although by that time it was pretty much man's interpretation of Christianity and not God's version of it. But anyway, a new Rome was built. A new Rome was established. And it was established at the old city of Byzantium, and it became Constantinople. Constantine named it after himself. And so, since that time, beginning at this time, the emphasis of the Roman Empire shifted from the west, Rome, to Constantinople, whereas Rome was more of a Latin culture. Constantinople in the eastern part of the Roman Empire was more Greek influenced. And but going back to the Western Roman Empire, it finally collapsed in about 476 AD. It just ceased to exist. Roman Empire, it was invaded by various people from Europe. And so the great Western Roman Empire was finished. And all that great technology we're talking about was neglected for many, many years. In Italy, in particular, it entered into a dark age. And then for many, many years in Italian history, they were mostly just made up of city-states like Venice and Genoa, Rome, of course. But it wasn't until the 1860s that Italy was united, about the time Germany was united. And of course, right after World War I, the Italians, they became fascist Italy. And of course, a good part of World War II was fought in Italy. Now, you might recall the Americans, they fought, and the British too, fought the Axis in Sicily. And 2 days before the D-Day landings in 1944, on June 4th, 1944, our Fifth Army, it conquered Rome, General Mark Clark's forces. And so after that time, Italy has pretty much been a republic, but they've always been kind of weak in their governments. But they're a good friend of ours right now, Italy. So that's a little bit about Italy and the Roman Empire. Any questions? Well, let's go on to Turkey. Turkey. And Turkey's on what peninsula? Asia Minor. Now with Turkey, now remember I told you, we just learned that the Western Roman Empire, it fell in 476 AD. But was that the end of Rome? No. The Roman Empire, despite it, the western part falling in the 400 ADs, it continued for another 1,000 of years. It was headquartered in Constantinople. It was known as the Byzantine Empire. And just in the 500 ADs, one of the emperors of the East named Justinian, he led a military campaign in which it recaptured most of Italy and restored briefly the western part of the Roman Empire to the eastern. But as time went on, the eastern Romans or the Byzantines couldn't hold Italy, so they just kind of gave that up. But by that time, a new force in the Middle East, the Muslims, the Islamic people, began to assert themselves. And in 1453, the Eastern Roman Empire was finally conquered. Constantinople was captured by the Ottoman Turks. You ever heard of the Ottoman Turks? They're one of the main Muslim forces. Now, the Ottoman Turks, they conquered the Roman Empire in 1453. Why is that a big deal? Well, there was all during this time, this part of the world, the Mediterranean world, they knew about the people, say, in China. Okay? So, and they would trade with each other along a route called the Silk Road. Has anybody heard about that? The Silk Road. Yeah, the Silk Road. You see, people here in the Mediterranean world, they wanted the spices and silk from the Far East. But there are also goods that the people in the Far East wanted, so it was a good trade route. But when the Ottoman Turks, when they took Constantinople and conquered the Byzantine Empire, that closed that land route. So what did the people of the Western Europe and the Mediterranean world, what did they do? They started looking for a sea route to the Far East. And there was one particular seaman from Genoa. Again, Italy was a city-state. His name was Christopher Columbus. So, wonder what happened to him. So, you see how kind of history, you know, one thing happens, it could have an effect on something else, sort of like dominoes a little bit. So, but now the Ottoman Empire, when did they fall? Well, it was almost about 2 months being over 100 years. The Ottoman Turks, they were one of Imperial Germany's main allies in World War I. And so they surrendered to the Allies in October of 1918. Now think about that. Think about this. The empire that conquered the last part of the Roman Empire itself was only conquered 100 years ago, the Ottoman Turks. But right after World War I, Turkey reformed itself. It modernized itself under Ataturk. And all during World War II, it was neutral, although they favored the Allies. Then today, Turkey is a member, is a close ally to the United States. And so now, in Turkey, you have such areas in the New Testament as this. And I think maybe you've heard of these areas. Ephesus. Ever heard of the Ephesus? What do you know about the Ephesus? Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. They're in Ephesus. He wrote to the Ephesians. And now up here, there's an area of Turkey, modern-day Turkey, in Asia Minor, known as Galatia. Ever heard of, know anything about Galatia? Right. That's right, the Galatians. And around this area, of course, you've got the seven churches in Asia, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 1, and also Laodicea is right in here. So when you hear the seven churches of Asia mentioned from Revelation chapter 1, the Galatia, Ephesus, and what about Colossians? They're all right in here in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. So when you hear about modern-day Turkey, hopefully now you can say, oh, yeah, that's where Paul wrote to the Galatians, wrote to the Ephesians. That's where, and those here, Colossians. Okay, so you see how fascinating geography could be. If I didn't study this, I wouldn't really know where Ephesus was. It's right here. Okay? Now, let me talk a little bit about Greece right here. Greece is right at the bottom of the Balkan Peninsula. What's the capital of Greece? Athens. Now, Athens, history tells us that they were one of the first to have a democratic government, democracy, ruled by the people. In fact, democracy is a from the Greek word ruled by the people. Well, of course, throughout ancient Greece history, it was made up of city-states that sometimes they fought with each other, sometimes they fought against each other. But then as time went on, Greece probably hit one of its biggest moments under Alexander the Great, the military. But then, by the time of the New Testament times, it was just again just another part of the Roman Empire. And this is where you find such New Testament cities as Thessalonica. Although in our New Testaments, Thessalonica is spelled with a C. I think its modern spelling is with a K, and I think they pronounce it Thessalonica. to Thessalonica. And also, there's another city in which Paul wrote some of his epistles to. They're known for their architecture. Corinth. The Corinthians. Okay? So, next time when you read Corinthians and when you read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you know where it's located. What modern-day countries are they located in? Greece. Okay, and Athens. And also, Crete. This played a big part in Paul's life on his missionary journeys. Crete is an island that's controlled by, that's part of Greece. And also another island. Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. Cyprus is an island right here. It's near the coast of modern-day Lebanon and Syria. It's right here. Now, that's an interesting history. I don't want to get too much into that, but just let me say this about Cyprus. Today, most of Cyprus is controlled by Greece. Okay. The official nation of Cyprus is controlled by the Greeks. However, in the northeastern part, that's controlled by the Turks from Turkey. So, and in modern history, there's been sometimes warfare and disagreements between Greece and Turkey. Although both are members of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, both are friendly to the United States, but they do, they have fought over Cyprus. Now, Malta, does anybody know anything about Malta? A shipwreck. Exactly. Now, Malta is located right here. It's just almost due south of the Italian island of Sicily. Mm-hmm. And now, later, Malta became, it's always been recognized as one of the keys to controlling the Mediterranean. And during World War II, the Nazis and the fascists tried in vain to capture Malta, but the dog determination of the British and their Commonwealth forces held Malta, and Britain controlled Malta from about the 1700s until Malta gained its independence in 1964. But Malta is known also in history for their famous knights, you know, the famous Knights of Malta. You know, famous military soldiers. Okay, and of course, again, Paul was involved in a shipwreck around Malta. So now, when you read about Malta in Acts, you know where it is. It's just due south of Sicily. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See how now it becomes alive to us. And so when we hear news reports from this part of the world today, we'll say, well, yeah, Paul visited there. There was a church, say, at Laodicea in Asia Minor. So hopefully, you know, when we look at modern-day geography and then read, especially in our New Testament, you know, it will make God's word, you know, much more meaningful and enjoyable for us. Because even when I read the newspaper, I like to have a map of Georgia, the United States, and the world. So if I look upon a country that I'm not familiar with, I can look on the map and know exactly where it is. And I invite you to do that too when you read the scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament, that you have a map, or usually Bibles, of course, they have maps, and a lot of times, you know, we just neglect those, but this will help history come alive. And also, you can relate it to what's going on today. And of course, unfortunately, in the last 100 years after World War One, there's been a lot of turmoil in this region. You have in 1948, the modern nation of Israel was established, and they immediately started fighting. Their neighbors began to attack them, and then there's been there was another Middle East war in 1956, one in 67. The Yom Kippur War in 1973. So there's been a lot of conflict, and seeds of some of that conflict even go back to biblical times, at the Old Testament times. And so, and even today, this region still makes the headlines. Okay, and now Syria, Damascus. Okay. That was one of the main objectives of the British in World War One in the Middle East, in their Middle East campaign. You ever heard of Lawrence of Arabia? Well, this area in Palestine, that's where his Muslim forces were fighting against the Ottoman Turks. You remember the Ottoman Turks I mentioned? Turkey, they control a lot of this region. Up until the end of World War One, now, and even today, there are soldiers of several different countries of Syria. I heard recently that Israel was, shelling parts of Syria. So, and then, the Russian forces are in Syria, and also there's another nation that has some troops in Syria. The United States. So when you, yeah, good. Hopefully bring all of our troops home, so they can spend time with their families. And but hopefully, in this lesson, learned where some of the basic areas of the New Testament geography are. Italy. We looked at Italy. We looked at Turkey. We looked at Greece. We even talked a little bit about Egypt. We talked about, there's one other region. Right up here, there's a city called Philippi. You know anything about Philippi? Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians, although the modern-day spelling is almost like Filipino. It starts with an F, Philippi. But it's located in a nation that's right here. It's not Greece, but Macedonia. Ever heard of Macedonia? You know, we've seen, the Macedonians and... See, we're right up in here, Philippi. It's still a city today. Philippi. Well, is there any questions or any comments? Well, I tell you what. Since it's the holiday, we won't have a test. But maybe next time, it'll be an essay. It'll be an essay. I give you about six potential questions, and then I'll only ask you on three of them. But not today, not. Thank you, and so hopefully this will enlighten you, and as we try to explore God's Word, especially in the New Testament. You know, we want to study the Old Testament so we can know the nature of God, but particularly the New Testament, in which Paul, his missionary journeys. And one other thing about Rome, I want to say, we said that the Mediterranean Sea was a Roman lake. Well, Rome, you can relate it to the United States when Paul and Silas, when they were arrested for when they helped the jailer, when they spread the gospel to the jailer back in, Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were later rearrested, but they were released because it was found out by those guards that came to arrest them that they were citizens of who? Of what? Of the Roman Empire. They were Roman citizens. And see, Roman citizens had the right to a trial. Right to a trial. Just like today, being a U.S. citizen, we have constitutional rights. And just like in Paul's case, see, we have among our rights, we have the Fifth Amendment rights. No one can be denied life, liberty, and property without due process of the law. And also, we can't be charged, convicted for the same crime twice. We can't be forced to testify against ourselves in self-incrimination. And also in the Sixth Amendment, that we have a right to a fair and speedy trial of a jury of our peers, and we have a right to counsel, that is, a legal representation, if we cannot afford one. Okay, so in some ways, the United States government, we owe a lot to the Roman Empire, especially when it comes to a representative democracy, a republic, having basic rights, you know, being a U.S. citizen, and also in the United States, you know, back years ago, there was probably about 120, 130 years ago, you had the United States currency, but states will print their own money. Banks will print their own money. You see how confusing that might be? But today we only got our standard money. Now, does anybody have any Federal Reserve notes? Okay, you got you got some Federal Reserve notes? Well, let me show you a Federal Reserve note that I have. Federal Reserve. In the United States, our money, it's gold, it's backed by gold, right? United States, President Franklin Roosevelt took us off of the gold standard during the early 30s, and we have what's known as fiat money is backed by the United States government. So we're off the gold standard. And I appreciate everything, and I hope y'all learned something. Bless y'all. And Happy New Year!